welcome into another Saturday of Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a full show. So, you know, like my band teacher used to say, tie a knot and hang on. Geddes Brandon is going to be here with me co-hosting today. We're going to talk to a couple of guys that are coming to fish the Bassmaster Classic, and they're a couple of big names. So hang on through that. But right now, and they're just great people. I appreciate them coming on. Anytime I call them and say, hey, I'd like you to do a spot or we need to talk about this, they're always yes and ready to go. But it's Pam and her husband, Chad. I hated to break up the duo this week, but I wanted to get more of Pam in and let Chad have a little time next week. But Pamela Holbrook, she's a wildlife and fisheries biologist. She is the American Shad Hatchery Manager for the Department of Natural Resources. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, Pam.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Like I said, if I ever ask too much, just yank my chain, okay? for those of you who haven't heard Pam before, take just a moment and tell us who you are and what you do for DNR.
Well, I work in freshwater fisheries, and I also do a lot of the artwork for the magazine and whenever different staff need, like if MRD, which is the Marine Resources Division, or if the Wildlife Department, if they need artwork, I'm more than willing to provide it. We also help out with the juvenile shad monitoring project. So the fish that I stock, I sometimes go out and help monitor them.
Okay. And you're about to get really busy, aren't you?
Yes. probably next week, okay. Starting with the shad stuff, and then a couple of weeks we'll start with the striped bass stuff.
Well, you work out of a really great place, and it's kind of spread out because it's a you got the Bayless Fish Hatchery, you got the Dennis Wildlife Center, and you got the St. Stephen's facility. Tell us just a take just a minute. Tell us about each one of them.
Well, I'll let Chad tell you about the fish list because that's his job, that's his project.
Okay.
I work at the Jack D. Bayless Hatchery, which is right beside the fish hatchery, which is on the Redivergent Canal.
Okay.
And we raise and spawn, well, I guess it'd be the other way around, spawn and then raise striped bass and American shad. And we also raise and incubate sometimes robust red horse eggs.
Okay.
They actually go out into the river to spawn those guys. So we don't bring those back to the hatchery.
Okay.
And then at the Dennis Wildlife Center, which is about 15 minutes from St. Stephen's towards Musk Corner, that's where we take the striped bass larvae to grow them out into the ponds.
Okay.
And we also grow out the robust red horse there, as well as have different types of brim, like your sunfish, like a bluegill and redbreast.
And that's a pretty, that's what, 37, 38-acre facility out there?
It's pretty big. We have 50 ponds, and I can't remember how many are acres, acre ponds, and then we have a lot of half-acre ponds.
Okay. Very cool. And the cool thing is Chad took me around for a tour of that when I was down there one year. The way y'all rotate those ponds, being dry in the in off-season or whatever, it allows the nutrients to grow, and there's a ready food source when you put those fingerlings in those ponds, isn't it?
Right. We let them dry too, because sometimes we have plant or algae or fungus problems, so
okay.
That kind of kills that.
Okay.
But yes, it's nice having the lake right beside us because we have a readily sourced water supply.
Okay.
Versus a lot of hatcheries don't have that luxury.
I gotcha. Well, your busy season's coming up. Take a moment.
Yeah.
Tell us what you do, I guess, starting with the shad and then going on the striped bass.
So with American shad, we generally start a few weeks before striped bass, and we go out in an electrofishing boat and collect the males and females, which are roes and bucks, right below the St. Stephen's fish lift, and we put them into a hauling tank and go up the long trek to the hatchery, which is just a couple hundred feet.
Right, yes, just
and
up the hill.
And put them into four different spawning tanks, and each spawning tank has about 30 to 40 males and 30 to 40 females.
Okay.
And we let them spawn until about maybe the second week in May. We just let them naturally spawn. We bring up the water temperature to about 70 to 72 degrees, which is seems to be the sweet spot for them.
Okay.
Once they spawn, the eggs kind of roll down to the bottom of the tank, and they come out the bottom and go into a separate smaller tank where I have a collection basket, and that's when I collect the eggs.
Okay.
And then I bring them into the actual building and incubate them for about 3 to 4 days. It depends on the water temperature. the warmer the water, the quicker they develop. And then when they're about 3 days old, I go stock them in either the watery or the Broad River.
Why is it important for us to, or why is it important for you to be there to work with the shad?
Well, historically, shad, along with other diatomaceous fish, you know, they had like the San Stephen fish lift, and they had the Columbia fishway that was built, but there were obstacles that prevented them from going to their historical spawning ground.
Okay.
Well, now that there's, we have the Columbia fishway, we have the San Stephen fish lift, we have the locks that you can go down into the Creeper River or up into the lake.
Okay.
There's ways for fish to get up past those obstacles now. And so my job is to restore those historical spawning runs. Unfortunately, there's no fish passage at the Watery Dam or at Parr Dam, but I think they're working on it at the Watery Dam.
Oh, cool. Very nice. Well, that's the shad part of it. Now, you also have your hands full of stripers, too.
Right. We have a lot of stripers, and it's a little bit more labor-intensive. And my boss, which is Forest Sessions, and the assistant, which is Jarrett Gibbons, they're the ones that manage that program, but I'm there to help. So we start off, hopefully, we can get our brood stock right below the St. Stephen's Dam or above it, which is your male and female stripers. But a lot of times, if they've already started to make an early run, like maybe right now, we have to go all the way up to Columbia to, like, the Buzzard's Roost and get our brood stock.
Okay.
Generally, the males are much smaller. Seems like the males do a lot better when they're about 2 to 3 years old. And then the females are just a little bit larger. Now, the really, really big stripers, the females don't do well in a hatchery setting. So we just normally get a picture with them and let them back go in the water.
Okay.
And we also do hybrids. We get white bass males from the upstate.
Ah, and that's how we get hybrids?
Yes. And with any of the striped bass, the females are injected with HCG, which is human chorionic gonadotropin, which is the same hormone that a female human would take if she was having problems getting pregnant.
All right.
And the striped bass females react to that, and that allows those eggs to ripen. And so I think if we inject on a Sunday, they're normally ready to go to be spawned on a Monday, and we do it twice a week. So Forrest will come in with like a little pipette or a siphon, and he takes a small sample of eggs out of the ovary, and he'll go back to the microscope, and he can stage the eggs and tell when she is ready to spawn. Sometimes it could be 2 hours out. Sometimes it could be 12 hours out.
Wow.
Once they're ready to spawn, we have an electroshocking anesthesia device. We just put the fish in the water and hold her there, or hold the males there, and just shock them. It doesn't kill them.
Okay.
And that just allows them to get the eggs much easier versus, you know, the fish flailing around and everything.
Sure.
So once they literally squeeze the eggs out of her ovary, they'll get the males out and they'll fertilize them. And they have three different pans where they put the eggs in, and then they use one male per each pan. So that helps with genetic diversity.
Okay.
So it'll be one female to three males. And then we use female striped bass and male white bass to make hybrids.
Okay. And then you take those and stock those throughout the state of South Carolina, the upstate lakes.
Only hybrids go in the Savannah system, though.
Okay.
Do not let anybody think that hybrids are stocked in the Santee system or in the PD, because they're not. We only stock them in the Savannah system.
Cool. Pam, thanks for being on the show. Look forward to seeing you here in just a few months when I come visit you.
Yes, please come down. Bring the whole crew.
We'll do it. Thanks, Pam. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Woods and Water, South Carolina. What is the noise in the background? Well, it's not Geddes. My good buddy Geddes Brandon is in the studio with me. It's this is the first time you've been in studio with me.
I have done a lot over the cell phone.
Yeah.
And just to be able to come in the studio and see where it all happens is pretty cool.
That's good. Well, I appreciate you coming in. And, hey, that background noise is because our next guest, Mr. Jordan Lee, the 2017 Bassmaster Classic champion from Houston, Texas, is on the water, and he's with us here in the studio. Jordan, thanks for being with us on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We were talking earlier, it's always cool to have a fisherman out on the water calling in to talk about fishing. You said you wouldn't have much of a report, but we're not looking for a report. We're just looking for you here in a few weeks to be back in action on Lake Hartwell trying for number two.
That's right. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I mean, that last year was just special. And, you know, they always say, you know, I mean, you've heard guys say it in the past, when you win it once, you know, it just makes you want to that much more to win it again. And that's really the case with me. I mean, that was my first tournament win. And, you know, it's going to be, it's an awesome tournament. Obviously the biggest one you can fish, and I'm just looking forward to being back in it and, you know, have another shot.
You had a great year again last year to go along with your rookie year. And, like you said, your first win came on Lake Hartwell, or not Lake Hartwell, excuse me. I'm getting a little too far.
You're a little too far ahead of yourself, Kittis.
At Lake Conroe in Houston last year. I know. Did you see the poll we put up on Bassmaster's Instagram last week? They said you can repeat.
Well, it'll be tough to repeat. I mean, but it's been done before, and, yeah, you know, that's what I'm definitely going to be trying to do. And, you know, hopefully I can just, you know, fish the way I like to fish and, you know, put something together.
Well, last year on Lake Conroe, interesting enough, the first day you had three fish. The second day you had four fish. And, obviously, the last day you had five fish. And you brought in 27 pounds, 4 ounces, and brought back the title. And it was the largest come-from-behind victory ever in the Geico Bassmaster Classic presented by Dick's Sporting Goods. Do you see any 25-pound-plus bags coming out of Lake Hartwell this time around? Because we saw it with Edwin on Grand Lake with 29.3 and 16 on the final day. You know, the date change has been different from when we were here in 08 and then when we were here again in 2015. So I know you came and did a little pre-practice. Do you see anything that has potential for a 25-pound-plus bag?
You know, I really don't think so. I mean, I don't know really the weights that time of year, but I know they're going to be good. But I don't think you're going to see, you know, I don't think the lake has just a ton of, you know, like 5 pounds, you know, 5 to 10 pound fish like Conroe. You know, the average there, you know, you have a chance to catch, you know, a 10 pounder in Texas. So I don't think you're going to, but I think it's definitely going to be, you know, with the weather, the warm early spring we've had, you know, I think that's going to push some bigger fish up shallow, and that's going to play into a lot of guys' strengths. So I see the weights being pretty good, though, to win. You know, it's not going to be a low-weight tournament. You know, I definitely see, you know, the 18, 19 a day, or around that anyway, 17 to 19 that is, you know, will be what takes it home for sure.
Well, anytime you come to Lake Hartwell, one of the main things that people talk about it is, can you win a 3-day or 4-day tournament with spotted bass in the back? Do you think that with the progression of the spotted bass growing at Lake Hartwell, that it's possible to win with spotted bass, or how do you think that's going to play a factor?
Yeah, so I definitely think you can have a couple. I mean, you know, if you could have a few, you know, those 3.5-4 pound spots, I mean, that, you know, I know that there is some in there. I can definitely see, you know, a guy having, you know, definitely a few of those in their bag to go along with it for sure. No doubt. I could definitely see, you know, but I don't see it all, you know, being spots but I definitely, the largemouth, you know, what you're going to be after, but I could definitely see a few of those being mixed in for sure.
You know, going back to Conroe last year, and I was being media guy, we got front row seats right there, and you pulled up and pulled out those two big old fish that last day. That was just incredible. And you talk a little bit about how, you know, going into it, you were behind and biggest comeback and all. Tell us just a little bit about what it was like being up on the stage, putting those fish on the thing, and then your parents got up there, and that was a really cool moment for you.
Yeah, you know, I can definitely say that's probably going to be the best moment of my career as far as, you know, coming from behind like that and, you know, kind of pretty much being out of it. But it was really the perfect scenario as far as having a comeback like that. And it just worked out. But it was really just an awesome moment. I mean, like I said, it'll definitely go down as one of my better moments, my best moment probably, no matter what, you know, just coming from behind like that, and, you know, on the last day. I mean, that's, you really can't, you know, when you're a kid, you think about fishing the classic, or you kind of joke about it, you know, coming, you know, it's something you almost, you know, you just dream about happening, and it just came reality for me. So it was, like I said, it's just one of those perfect scenarios where, you know, you just don't see leaders, the top guys struggle like that. And that life was just, it was real stingy, and it was in that post-spawn period where, you know, guys weren't really getting a lot of bites, and it just happened to work out for me.
It was an incredible. I was out on Friday that day as a marshal, and I have never been on a lake that rough in my entire life. I mean, that was...
It was rough, and it, you know, the bad thing is, it was even rougher, you know, the water was just, it was so windy that first day.
And yeah.
That really, you know, dampened my spot, and, but I was really, going into that tournament, I usually don't, you know, I really thought I'd found a potential winning spot, and I don't do that. You know, I've never really felt that except maybe one or two tournaments where, you know, you think you find something and it just happened to turn out, you know, late in the tournament. But doesn't work out that way all the time, and it just happened to work out that time. But you're right. I mean, it was definitely a rough tournament.
Yeah,
the weather, you know, the boat waves and things like that.
Coming into Hartwell. Yeah, you know, everybody says it's big enough that anybody that comes in there can fish their strengths. What's your strength on a lake like Hartwell, do you think?
You know, I really think, you know, if the fish are on beds, that, you know, I could pick off enough to have, you know, a good day, good few days. If that's going, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say it is going to be a spawn tournament, but, you know, the shallow docks and things like that, that's really what I'm going to be looking for. And, you know, really venture out deeper. You know, I'm planning on fishing the bank unless it's just total not, you know, can't get any bites, but that's really my strength. And, you know, like you said, you know, there's dirty water, there's clear water. You know, if I can see the fish, you know, I feel like I can, you know, have competing ways. And so that's my kind of game plan going in it. But, you know, it's really, it never works out like that. Never, you never really go in a tournament saying, hey, I'm going to catch them like this. You catch them like that. So we'll see. You know, it just really depends on the weather, get leading up to it. And, that really is the name of the game in springtime events is watching the weather and just seeing, you know, what stage those fish are in.
Yeah, get ready because South Carolina can throw some weather at you.
Oh, yeah, it can.
Exactly.
Jordan, bouncing off that a little bit, hypothetically, if it was to be a shallow water tournament like that, you're going to be out there with 51 or 52 other guys, the best fishermen in the world. How do you separate yourself in a shallow water deal, sight fishing tournament, compared to the other tournaments where you can kind of find something, have it to yourself, come off and fish it, and progress your tournament that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's no really good way to do it. I mean, you have to find either find a lot of fish or, you know, have that big bite, and that's what's going to go. That always goes a long way. I mean, you got to have one of those five, 6 pounders in your bag to be up there high. You know, I mean, that's just what it takes. And, you know, that's definitely what you got to look for, and or that, or even have a really good solid average. But I mean, just getting a feel for the lake, and, you know, the guy who wins that tournament's not going to win it on the spot like I did last year, or probably even one creek, I would guess. I would think they'd be running a pattern and kind of moving around. So, that's just, I feel like that's how those lakes, you know, kind of fish, you know, getting a section of the lake and, you know, kind of dialed in a little bit.
Well, hopefully I will be trying my best and scurrying around to get a cameraman on you again this year, like we did at Conroe last year when you came out of nowhere. That was a that was one of the highlights of my year.
Yeah, that was cool. Well, you're an Auburn grad, so War Eagle, you're coming to Clemson, South Carolina territory, and you never know what South Carolina weather's going to throw at you. But look, we have our favorites here in South Carolina, of course, our local guy Casey Ashley. But man, to see a guy like you repeat, somebody who's humble, if I can bestow that on you, I mean, you were around at the high school bass class last year, and you came in Saturday and you hung around for more than half the day just talking to those kids and all, and they loved every minute of it. And that's what makes you, you know, probably one of the favorites to come back here and take home a second trophy.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, the humble thing, I've always tried to play that way just because this sport, if anybody sees this tournament, you know, you're definitely, you're going to have some good days, you're going to have a lot of bad days with it. And that's just what keeps me, like, you know, on a level just because of that. And I definitely grew up being a huge fan of the sport and looked up to the guys I fish against now. So, like you said, the high school bass class, that was just an awesome experience. Just to hang out with younger fishermen, and that's one thing that I love about it now, being able to talk to them and, you know, kind of give them an idea of what it's like out here, you know, fishing the Final Eight Series, and it's definitely a fun time. So I really appreciate it, and, yeah, hopefully we can put two together. That's the plan, anyway.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, guys.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Again, sitting here with my good friend, Geddes Brannon, former collegiate champion on the FLW side for the University of South Carolina. Now he's wearing a Bassmaster shirt every time I see him. It's been a good ride for you.
It has been. And you know, the next guest we have on the line, I think I was a freshman, and actually the guest we had before him,
yeah,
I know I was a freshman, and I had to fish against him and his brother a few times, and now we have a good friend of mine coming on here that fished at the University of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Easy now.
I had a niece that went there, so I'm allowed to say Roll Tide.
Well, if Neil Paul doesn't hear you. now Bruce Aiken will be very happy.
He'll be very happy. But, yeah, we go from Sabine, Texas, with Jordan Lee, to Ross Barnett, in Mississippi, and Dustin Cunnell. Dustin, thanks for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
I appreciate y'all having me today. I'm out here at 72 degrees, and the fish are biting, but I don't mind talking to y'all.
Well, hopefully we won't hold you too long, because I know when the fish are biting on Ross Barnett Reservoir, that's a good thing you got going there.
Hey, yeah, I know it. I've had some good memories here. I ended up winning a tournament here last year, and I've caught some good fish this week, so we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, that was your first win as an elite angler and the first college series angler to win an elite event. That's quite a – I mean, that record won't ever be eclipsed right there, Dustin.
Well, let's not mention who he won it over.
Oh, well, okay. Well, go ahead. Who did he win it over there, Geddes?
He was going into the final day, and Kevin Van Dam was right on his tail, and he came in and he said, I don't know if I have enough. And ended up winning. And I have to say this about Dustin. And yeah, Dustin, I hope you don't mind me saying this at all.
Go ahead.
But in Houston at the Classic last year. Dustin and I were out after Classic, and he said, Geddes, I'm going to win this tournament on Ross Barnett. And sure enough, that happened.
He obviously, he's a man of his word. What do you got to say about that, Dustin?
Yeah, I had a really good pre-practice when I came here, and I don't know, it was just one of them gut feelings, you know. I mean, I don't know, you can't really explain it. I mean, I played baseball, you know, for a long time, and when you just feel good, you play good, and I was feeling good at the time, and I was like, all right, I think this is going to be interesting here. And I feel like this week's going to be good, but you can't always call your shot like that, especially against these guys. They're the best in the world.
What was it like beating Kevin Van Dam that day?
Man, it was awesome. It was a really tough day of fishing for me. I only had maybe six keeper bites all day. And I had one really good bite. I had like a 5-pounder in it, and I got it in the boat. But it just felt good for everything to come together. Because a lot of times in these tournaments, out of 3 or 4 days you're fishing, you lose fish and something happens or the wind blows you out and everything just fell into place.
That's great. Look, take just a minute, because you came through the college ranks, just like Geddes, just like Jordan and all. How does that prepare you? I mean, just like these high school kids are coming up and going to college and fishing in college, how does that help you on the professional level?
Well, it helped me in a few different ways. I got a lot of exposure with sponsors, sponsor relations. I also, you know, going to different lakes, traveling. I got to see Lake Okeechobee. I got to see lakes in Texas, Missouri, you know, South Carolina. So I learned while I was, you know, fishing in college, the different bodies of water, how they act. And I apply that today with sponsors and you know, I'm going next week. I'm going to a clear lake for the Classic. And right now I'm on a muddy river. It just helps me out all around.
Sure. I wouldn't count on Hartwell being clear.
there's a variable things that are going to go into this tournament coming up. And you know, the Geico Bassmaster Classic is always a fun tournament to watch, no matter where it is. And with it being here in South Carolina and backing up a little bit, last week in Alabama, or a week and a half ago in Alabama, Dustin started off the year with the top 12 on a spotted bass fishery, like Lake Martin, that has a mixture of both spotted bass and largemouth bass. Now, Dustin, these aren't the Coosa River spots that you have with your big bags that you put on Instagram, but they could still come into a factor here. And we kind of asked Jordan this, but how do you think Lake Hartwell is going to set up to what you're used to back at home?
Well, I know I fished Lake Hartwell before. I've actually almost won a couple tournaments there, big tournaments, but I know what lives in there, and that's the key. I know there's big largemouth. They're going to play. It's springtime. They're wanting to move up. I wouldn't be surprised if fish are caught off bed. I don't think it's going to be one off bed. It just depends on if they're up there a lot, but I don't know, man. I mean, spots are definitely going to play. I mean, there's too many of them in there for them not to.
That's the truth. Look, 2017, rookie year on the elites, and you take rookie of the year, which is...
We had a strong rookie
and you,
class.
And it was, you had some stiff people in that class with you. What's that do coming into your first Classic?
Man, you know, last year my main goal was to make this tournament, make the Classics, and it's so hard to qualify. And I was happy to do it on my first year, but rookie of the year was just kind of like icing on the cake. You know, it really, really did. It gives me a lot of momentum and it lets me know, hey, I do belong here. Cause there is that question in your mind when you know, and if there's any college anglers or high school kids out there listening, you're going to have that doubt. That's natural.
Sure.
And when you come to this level, you're sitting there wondering, okay, I've won locally. I did really good regional, or, you know, and do I belong here? Well,
it gives you a little bit of assurance. And making that class is a huge deal, and I'm excited for it.
And I know you said when you and I and Jordan were sitting at the hotel in Anderson when you came up for the high school bass class, that you said, Jordan, man, why don't you give me a heads up? It's like jumping into a shark tank with these guys. And you succeeded, and you know, you came away with a win last year, and you had a few top 20 finishes, and started off the year with a 12th place finish at Lake Martin. So good luck at the res this week, and it's the point still on the res, so you're going to be there for two more tournaments, not necessarily at Ross Barnett, but a couple other places in the Central Division. So you'll have a couple of opportunities to qualify for the Classic next year, not only through the Opens, but with a strong finish in the first Elite Series event.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this week. It's a little different fishing these Opens. You know, I hadn't fished one since I qualified. I didn't fish any last year. And there's like a 200-boat field. Well, I'm kind of used to just 100 boats. And when I look, like right now I'm looking at about 15 boats, so it's a little different. And but, yeah, I'm looking forward to this week, and I'm really excited about next week, the Classic. And I know said that 10 times, but, man, just to be honest, that's every fisherman's dream. And they may not come out and say it, but these guys out here fishing weekend tournaments, that's their dream. They want to fish the Classic. They want to win it. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Speaking of the Classic, and I gave this same question to Jordan, and I want you to give me your answer, too. Hart was a huge lake. A lot of people that come here and fish say, you know, you can fish your strength somewhere on the lake at any given time of the year. Do you think, what is your strength? And you think you're going to have a time that it'll come into play when you come here for the Classic?
I have made a living bass fishing, and it's not a secret no more. Trying to be an outlier. And when I say that, is to do something different. Okay. I know for a fact that I can't go catch herring fish better than Casey Ashley. I can't catch them better than all them other guys out deep. I can catch fish deep, but I don't know the certain areas to do it. So what I'll do is I'll go and do my strengths. I'll go maybe run up a river, mix it up a little bit. I really don't know. It just depends on the fishing. But that's what I think somebody's going to win doing is being different. And we shall see.
You know, none of us could do any of this without sponsors, and you got some great ones. You want to give them a plug here?
Absolutely. I know it sounds cliche to say this, but I really could not be here without them. It costs a lot to do this, and I'm very grateful for them. I have some of the best companies in the business backing me. Costa, Six Sense Lures, TH Marine, Lowrance, DPI, Triton Boats, Net Bait, Owner Hooks, you know, the list goes on. And those guys, they really help me out, whether it's product or them helping me with entries. They're the best. So, good deal with them.
Good deal, Dustin. Well, we appreciate you coming on with us today here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. And we look forward to having you in South Carolina next week. And hopefully you will come back with the Classic Trophy to Alabama.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. I'm looking forward to it. I'm headed over there probably on Wednesday. See me.
Sounds like a plan. All right, buddy. Safe travel.
Thanks, Dustin.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I told you it was going to be a full one. Appreciate Pam coming on, talking about the shad and striper, how the DNR, you know, manages those populations, make sure they're sustainable and all that. I'm looking forward to going down there and spending a day or so here in the next few weeks. Appreciate Jordan Lee coming on. You know, you got last year's Classic champion made the Classic this year automatic bid. I mean, he's got just as good a shot as anybody else, I'd say.
He definitely does, and he gave us a good breakdown of Lake Harbor, what he expected there, and if he thought there could be any heroic 25-pound plus bags that are weighed in, like he weighed in last year at Lake Conroe.
But look at Murray. Look at the cup on Lake Murray. Nobody thought you were going to get 15, 16 pounds a day, and they ended up 21-pound bags all 4 days. I mean, Hartwell's got the – there's some big fish in Hartwell.
Hartwell definitely has some larger fish in it. I don't know if they're as large as the fish at Lake Murray. And I think that what happened at Lake Murray was kind of an anomaly. I think that those fish set up on those brush piles and the cane piles just like they would, you know, maybe once or twice a year at Lake Murray. And I think they hit it dead in time. So the guys that knew about them were the ones that were going to excel.
Yeah.
Now, that was definitely a good week of fishing, but what you have at Lake Harwell is the abundance of spots that are in there.
Yeah,
so
true.
The largemouth are splitting up their bait with a
ravenous cousin. Yes,
with a very aggressive cousin. Yeah. And, you know, I could definitely see weights being a little higher than you think just because they could be up on bed.
Sure.
They could be up shallow cruising. And, you know, as Jordan said earlier, you get some of the best guys in the world out there sight fishing. There's going to be some good bags caught. But it'll be interesting to see how this water temperature sets up. And the water temperature is going to be key, and that and the water fluctuation. One thing that I think could happen if the water temperature continues to rise is there could be a bait fish bite going on. Without getting into much, there could be something else that's going on that a lot of people didn't have in store.
You know, and then Dustin, first classic, rookie of the year last year, right out of the top.
Like a veteran.
He does. And just so laid back. I mean, he and Jordan both down at the bass class. I mean, they, you know, just on the same level with those high school kids because they're only a few years removed, really. You know, it's not like you got, I mean, you had
they're
Marty.
They're a few years older than me.
Yeah. So it's not that far of a jump from those high schoolers. And those guys know how to talk the language to those kids. And Dustin could be a player in this, too. But. You know, first time in the studio, we've done a live remote. We've done some on-the-water stuff before, and kind of fun having you here beside me. But I want to talk a little bit about, because, you know, we try to take these high school kids and get them ready to fish the next level. And then, but very few of them are going to fish. I mean, there's a couple of guys we talked to this morning, but how many – I mean, you're having 300 boats at Hartwell for high school tournament. That's 600 kids, and how many of them are going to make the elites or the FLW or something like that? But you got a pretty good story, you know, collegiate fishing, and then now you're working in the industry. As far as rubbing shoulders with these guys, you couldn't be much closer than if you were in the boat with them, which sometimes you are. Tell us, take just a minute and tell us about the progression from college to working at Bass.
Well, you know, first off, I'd like to say that I'm very fortunate to have the opportunities I do with Bass and Bassmaster Magazine and Bassmaster.com and the great publications we have within the industry. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that they've given me. But it couldn't have happened without the groundworks of being on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Or
you give me way too winning, much credit.
Or winning a college fishing national championship.
Yep.
You know, and there are a lot of kids that aspire to being a professional fisherman. And the hardest thing to realize is it's a different sport where there's, you know, 100 guys at the top, 200 guys at the top. And if you include FLW, you're talking about a few hundred at most. And yeah. And you have to have time, money, and motivation. And if you don't have those three things, it's hard to do. But as Dustin said earlier, having the right sponsors is a big thing. For me, it kind of progressed where I helped out at the Hartwell Classic in 2015, and I helped out with the GoPros and the point of view cameras that we were putting out on the boats as a college student, and I was still fishing. This was before the national. And that next fall came around, and Shea Baker, who was over that deal, he called me and said, "Hey, you know, Jerry wants someone to come help me film for a segment for the website." And I said, "Jerry?" He said, "Yeah, Jerry McInnes." I said, "Okay, well, this is pretty neat." And I said, "Of course I'll be there." You know, so that fall comes around. We go to an old Auburn football coach's pond. I think it was Coach Dye's pond. and we record the segment. I come back, and I'm scrambling around to edit it in the journalism school at Carolina. And after I got that done, I volunteered to help for the classic again in 16 okay. on Grand Lake. So that was my first full classic experience. And then I went on to keep helping them and working for them on the final days of the tournament to help them cut video my senior year of school and our junior year, excuse me. And then we won the national championship, and it definitely opened up doors for me where it was, do you consider fishing professionally or do you continue with the role that you have in the media side? And for me, it was it's still a decision that I don't necessarily know if I'm 100% committed to either one yet.
I gotcha.
For the most part, yes. Every day it's going to be more media. But for me, the opportunity I had with Bassmaster was just very clear in front of me, and it was a step that I knew that was just an easy one to take, and it was something that coming out of journalism school, being in a smaller market as fishing compared to a large market where you have to really win over those fans, when you already have a little bit of background in that sure. industry and sport, it really helps you out. So, like I said, I couldn't thank the people that helped me out enough. And, you know, working for Bassmaster has been a dream.
So this year, what are you doing?
This year?
I mean, you're in every tournament, but you got your fingers on a lot of things.
Yeah, so one of our main things that we do is we pass out Bass Track phones at the beginning of the day, and we work with the studio on, you know, who has cell phone coverage for the next day for live, teach marshals how to blog to enhance our digital coverage. And we also, that also gives you the weights in real time. So during the Classic or during the Elite Series tournaments, you can go to Bass Track, click on the tab, and it'll have the weights that they have. And we're working on some really cool improvements there. After I get those phones out, that might be 5 o'clock in the morning, I either head out in my boat, my Triton Mercury, or I will get in another boat and go out and shoot photos, come in, edit them. But really, it's a lot of dispatching cameramen and making sure that we have the best coverage that we can for the website, for the TV show, and for live. So, you know, I ask a lot of people, do you think the pro guys on a TV show that's recorded are catching fish the whole time? and they're not. So you have to have someone in the background saying, okay, this guy's catching them.
Sure.
And that's what that technology allows us to do.
And then at night, it's hang out with whoever you want to hang out with.
Yeah, that's that can be it. Or
it can
you're
be
still working
in front of the
gallery,
computer. So,
or editing GoPro footage.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm excited to have the Geico Bassmaster Classic right here in Greenville and in the upstate of South Carolina. And it's the 50th year of BSS and I believe the 48th Classic. So it's going to be an interesting tournament. I'm glad that it's here in South Carolina. And I hope that we have a lot of people from our state come out and realize the economic impact that it can have on our state. So, you know, we're looking at anywhere between $22 to $24 million economic impact. And that's unbelievable. With a state that doesn't have a huge professional sports team or anything of that matter.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I pulled up some old pictures from 2008 when Alton Jones won it because he was on the show last Saturday. And Jordan was 12 years old. Water was way down. And one of the first pictures of it is Casey Ashley in 2008. He's got a chatterbait wrapped boat. And I looked at his face and I was like, really? Is that Casey? I mean, he's so young. And then, you know, there's other guys, Skeet Reese is in there, Kevin Van Dam's, you know, or 10 years ago when it was first here. And it was fun being out there then. 15 was a great year for the Classic, record turnouts, even though it was cold as all get out. And now you got it back in a probably what some guys would rather have, stingy fishing. But I mean, it's the fishing's going to be good and the crowd interaction is going to be good. The expo is the largest it's ever been. Out of TD Expo Center, the weigh-ins at Bon Secours every afternoon at 3. I mean, it's a chance for people, if you're not into professional bass fishing, and let's face it, there's some of us out there who just can't get enough of it. There's some people who have never heard about it. Mm-hmm. Coming up 85, there was a sign out advertising the Classic. If you're out there and you've never been involved in some of this stuff, give it a chance. It's right here in your backyard. There's going to be people from all over the country, all over the world here for that week. You know, it's a chance for you to sample something that happens only one time a year in a different state, some pretty much every year.
And it is the premier event in professional bass fishing. I've been fortunate enough to be either an angler or be in the media on both sides of bass fishing in the largest event. And this is by far the premier event in our sport. And it, like I said, it's just an amazing thing for the state of South Carolina to be able to have it. And like you said, the growth of the expo and it just shows how the industry is growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, to get people involved that are not already involved in it is a great thing.
And it's free.
And it's free.
You can go to the launches every morning, free. Understand Toyota's going to sponsor coffee. So you got coffee out there. The anglers are going to be lined up on the new docks down there at Green Pond. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a bridge. The U.S. Army Corps is bringing a bridge out there. They're going to deploy it out in the water. Fans can get out on that and watch the launch from there. Hey, visit Anderson's. Got some great breakfast places, grits and groceries. You know, come back in, spend the day at the expo. Weigh in, doors open at 3 o'clock. Weigh in starts at 4. You can get the whole experience right here in your backyard.
Sure can. And as we wrap up, Roger, I got to ask you this.
Uh-oh.
So he's on record a few times saying, of course, we want the hometown guy to do good with Casey Ashley.
Yes.
Who else other than Casey Ashley are you looking at? You got to hurry. The music's coming.
I'll get you that next week because you're going to be back next week with me, right?
I'll be back with you next week.
Next week. Look, I hope you've enjoyed this show. Tune in again next week. Tell everybody else to listen in. We're going to have some good guests next week. But like I said, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. Back with more Woods and Water South Carolina next week. Hit me from behind. Yes, I'm gone to